This week is the biggest game of the year for Jacksonville. This is Tony Wiggins with your Jacksonville Jaguars report here on Locked On Jaguars. That sound familiar? It should, because I think you're going to hear that from here on out, that every game now for the rest of the year for Jacksonville is going to be the biggest game. And I know coaches always say the biggest game is the next game, and the most important game is the next game that we're going to play. However, in this situation, it really is true, because Jacksonville hasn't left itself much room at 4-5 to lose. Nick Foles coming back is very, very important. However, it is, you know, we talk about Minshew not having one game where everything should have mattered for what his future was. I don't think it's fair that Nick Foles has to come back and all of a sudden not lose or win 6 or 7 straight in order to justify Jacksonville going back to him. That is equally unfair if you ask me. But I will say this. There's a reason why, you know, they paid him a bunch of money, and it's for moments just like this. Will this game serve as a moratorium for what he is and what he isn't? I don't think it should, because he hasn't played in 8-9 weeks. There's obvious rust. The good thing for him is that there's a bye week separating his return and him being named a starter, so he has a little bit more time to get sort of greased up, I think. But yeah, this is about where I had Jacksonville. I actually had them at 5-4 at this point, because I assumed that the offensive line was going to struggle some, and that they would basically not have an alpha receiver. The way I thought the receiving core was going to go is you'd have about 4 guys with 650, 700 yards. That's not the case. What you have here is Chris Conley's played extremely well. D.D. Westbrook has been banged up. Keelan Cole has been decent, and surprisingly better than most people thought he would when he got a chance to play. But D.J. Chark is looking like a superstar. And we're going to see now if he has more opportunities down the field with Nick Foles, because Foles has a obviously bigger arm and has a different skill set than Gardner Minshew. But I had him at 5-4. Splitting with the Colts going down the stretch, beating Tampa, beating Atlanta. The bad part about this is they did not split with Houston. So when you come back to it, I think they have to really win this other game against Tennessee, which is obviously very winnable, even though the history with the Titans, especially on the road. But it's a very, very winnable game. For them to have any shot, they got to go. I think they really got to go 10-6. I don't think 9-7 is going to cut it. What does 9-7 do, though? 9-7 probably saves everybody's gig, because they're above 500, and then team people will come back and say, well, they didn't have their quarterback. And if they go 9-7 down the stretch, that means they went 5-2 over these next 7 games. And that would mean that maybe people would believe that if Nick Foles had played instead of Gardner Minshew, that they could have won a higher percentage of the games that Gardner started. He was 4-4 as a starter. So does that necessarily mean that that's true? I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. But it would really seem to me that Foles would actually have to go at least 5-2 in order for everybody to be safe. If he goes 6-1, I think they get a wild card. And if he does that, it shuts up a lot of this chatter that I've been hearing. You know, I don't know that people really, really think that folks think that Nick Foles is like this great savior of a quarterback. I recall everyone saying that they thought he was sort of middle of the road, somewhere between 15 and 18. But all of a sudden, now that people want to see him play, there are folks out there that are accusing folks of thinking Nick Foles is Joe Montana. And I don't believe that anyone ever said that. I just think people thought that Nick Foles is the right quarterback to lead this team with his competence, based on what we've seen in the past from Blake Bortles and Blaine Gabbert and the likes of those guys that they were trotting out, and Chad Henne. I even warned people to not think that Foles was better than he was just because he was better than what they had. So Foles' performance is going to actually determine a lot for the Jacksonville Jaguars here in the next coming weeks. All right, so what we're going to do here is I'm going to look at the midseason grades. I'm going to go position by position and do some midseason grades in this next segment and really give you guys a chance to understand, you know, why I think the team is where they are. I know I've been kind of throwing out there, well, if Gardner's so great, how come they're 4-5? And if they're 4-5, then it must be something else. I mean, we've talked about London. We've talked about all of these other things. We've talked about trades. Let's just look at the football. Let's just look at what's going on the field. I'll go position by position. I'll go offense and defense. And then in that third segment, and I normally don't do a double tease, but I'm going to do a double tease today because in that third segment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually discuss what I think might happen if things don't go well. And what I mean by don't go well, I mean no 5-2. If they go 4-3 and they end up 8-8, what I believe happens in the offseason and what I think should happen. So first, the grades, and then we'll get back to taking a macro approach to looking at this football team. We'll do that. Buckle your seatbelts up. We'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. I got to ask you something, folks. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. That's right. Between football season, basketball, the start of college basketball and pro, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. What you need to do to join right now, if you join, MyBookie will match your first deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with on MyBookie. Just use the promo code Locked On. That's right, the promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code Locked On to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today, where you play, you win, and you get paid. And might I suggest you do parlays because that helps you multiply that skrilla that's going to come to your pocket. Okay, welcome to the point in this show where I give midseason grades. We'll just go ahead and get right to it. I'll start with the offense. Quarterback. You know what I'm going to do, man? I'm going to give a solid A to the quarterback position. I'll give the Jaguars a solid A at the quarterback position, and that's because of the circumstances. This team was, they did not have a bye week until this week. They trained all offseason with one guy, and in the first quarter, he goes down. And then they stick a guy in who, in Gardner Minshew, a sixth-round rookie. They managed and handled that really, really well in terms of adjusting the play calling to the skill set, to getting everybody else to buy in, and to not trying to harness him too much and allow Gardner Minshew to do the things that that he does and that he does extremely well. So for that, was he perfect? No. But he doesn't have to be for this, because this is graded on a curve, in my opinion, because of the circumstances and the short notice in which he was able to step in and help this football team, and how the players all bought in and believed in it. And we're just talking on the field stuff. So, you know, we won't mention the enthusiasm and all of that stuff from the fan base, but that does count for something. Because I think when you want to win, and maybe the organization should know this, when you want to win, you need sort of a galvanized effort from everybody. And I think that's what this team got. And then the timing, you know, it couldn't have been more better timing because of the whole Jalen Ramsey stuff. This team needed something to focus positively on and pull these players together. And I think the way the entire quarterback situation was handled, even the way they talked about it, discussed it, the only divisiveness we've seen about how this quarterback situation for this team has gone has been the decision to go back to Foles, and there are people that believe in it and people that don't believe in it. But outside of that, I got to give them an A, man, because I think they have two guys that can play the position. And then the way that the team responded, and a lot of credit for that also goes to Gardner, how he was able to lead and have guys believe in him. So A for the quarterback position. Let's get to the running back position. I'm going to sound like a broken drum. I'm going to give you another A. Now, I can go A plus, A, or A minus, but I'm going to go A. And the reason why I don't go A plus, even though Leonard Fournette is leading the AFC in rushing, the reason why I don't go A plus here is because they don't really utilize sort of a change of pace. They don't have another guy that can come in. And I'm going to tell you why I think a change of pace is important. I understand just not having a guy who is a one-trick pony like a Corey Grant. And there are a lot of people that really miss what Corey Grant brought to the table. Corey Grant, to me, was a one-trick pony. He did one thing, but he ran outside. That's it. So it's almost like when you have a guy like that in the game, this is not like a Melvin Gordon, Austin Ekeler situation where they're not the same. Gordon is bigger and faster. Ekeler's quicker and shiftier. It's not quite that situation. When they had Corey Grant, it was almost a tell. You knew exactly what he was going to do because you knew what he couldn't do. He couldn't run inside. So you could basically sell out. Corey Grant wasn't running up nobody's middle. Okay, so I believe what the Jaguars tried to do was when they lost Fournette last year, they had to change their offense because they had nobody else who could do what they were built to do, which is what you see them doing this year using power. So Yeldon wasn't powerful. It was so desperate they went out and got Carlos Hyde and they brought him in, but by the time they got him in, the line was all busted up and they were playing with third stringers, so it really didn't matter. You never want to lose a back and then not be able to have another back at least come in and run the offense and do the things. That's why I think they got Rock Armstead, who's a big, powerful one-cut guy. Then they go get these other dudes for special teams purposes, Cedric Irvin and those guys, but they're all kind of the same person. I just think you have to find a guy that's versatile to do everything. He can run up the middle, he can go outside, and what the change of pace allows, well, it gets the other team off their square in terms of always knowing the same cadence or always knowing the same feel for the offense. It just gives them something extra to think about. New Orleans does it the opposite way. They have the air back guy who also runs up the middle, the complete back in Kamara. And then they come in with Latavius Murray, and he's a banker. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. And it's a different feel that you got to now deal with this big, thick dude because you're just worried about this little shifty guy. So there's a way you can just get good, complete football players that can do both. So I understand the Jaguars thinking that they were just going to more or less streamline this thing to make sure that whenever Fournette, if he got hurt, which he missed games both of his first two seasons, the one thing that you want to do is be able to make sure you can continue to run your junk. You know, you can continue to do what you do best and not have to totally change your offense up. So because this team is built to push people around offensively, they're not really built to pass block, and we'll get to that. So I'm gonna go A and A for both quarterback and running back. Skip the wide receiver. It's a bunch of good stuff going on here, man, with these positional rankings. The wide receiver. I'll get to the wide receiver spot. I think the wide receiver spot is an A-. And, you know, you go, why'd you go A-? When you developed a top 15 guy, Chris Conley's played well. I think I go A- because I haven't really seen a game where all three guys got off. You know, one game it'd be DD catching stuff. I think DD had a good game against Tennessee. It was DD and Chark against Tennessee, and Conley wasn't anywhere to be found. I think the closest we can get to that is Carolina, where they threw it around a lot because they, you know, the way the game was going and McCaffrey was going crazy, so they had to score points. The closest game we got to see where all three guys really played well, I think, was the Carolina game. But yeah, so A- is never going to be considered a bad grade. You want to see some more consistency, but I think a lot of that too comes with the lack of great play from one of the other units that I'll get to in just a second. The tight end position, I'm going to go F, and the reason why is because of injury mainly. They haven't had much production at all out of the tight end position. When you're a team playing with an inexperienced quarterback and you're running power and you're doing the things the Jaguars want to do, the tight end really, really would help you in the middle of the field and in the flat, because the tight end stresses the linebackers and the safeties out, which opens running lanes. And it also, you can make plays with those guys when you're running the ball, and then you start using play action. You really can make a lot of plays with your tight end. So I'll give him an F on that. Offensive line, I'm gonna go D. And the reason why I'm going D on the offensive line is because they run block very well, but they pass protect very poorly. And they have a problem keeping the quarterback upright. And they're just not dominant enough on one side of the line. Really, all of their yards basically come from the middle to the left. They don't get anything done on the right side. So I don't know if that's by play design, because I actually think the rookie from Florida has played extremely well at right tackle. He looks like a promising prospect. So I don't think that's it, Juwan Taylor. I don't think that's it. It's not him. Maybe they're just designed, or they're better as a designed left-handed or left-side running team. It might be Fournette. I don't know what it is. But for some reason, they run block on one side of the line very well, and then after that, they don't seem to do much else well. So it's an A for the quarterback, A for the running back, A minus for the receivers, an F for the tight end position by default, and a D for the offensive line. You notice something now. Offensive line and tight end for a power team have failing grades. That's not good. That's not good. That's why maybe you're missing a little bit of consistency that you want to have, even when you consider statistically the guys at the skill positions are playing well. All right, we're going to go defense, and then talk about a little bit of the look at a take a macro look at the state of the team and what these games and these weeks mean moving forward for the team and the staff and pretty much just the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the immediate future of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Anyway, we'll do that in a few minutes. But first, I'm going to tell you, if you need to treat yourself to a meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you, you need to do it with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off of their first order or $15 of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code Locked On. Get you some dinner, get you some breakfast, some lunch, whatever you need to do. One thing I want you to do is stick by, keep that seatbelt button up. We're going to finish up talking about our Jaguars. Okay, third and final segment, getting started here, speaking about Jacksonville and giving some mid-season grades. So we'll just keep going right now. Let's go from back to front. Let's go secondary. How's the secondary play? I'm going to give the secondary a solid B. And the reason why I'm going to give them a solid B is because I think, all things being considered, they played extremely well. Coming into the year, there was talk that it was one of the best secondaries in the NFL because they had 20 and 21. Well, Jalen Ramsey's gone. He got traded. Trey Herndon has stepped in and had three interceptions. Trey's played well. I mean, he's played well. And this is not even one of those things where I say he's played well considering the circumstances. No, he's played well, period. He's played well because he's played well. They're different. They don't have the aggression, I believe, defensively, that you have when you miss an alpha corner like Jalen. AJ Bouye has stepped up, and that he's a guy that people all thought wanted was expendable. Some even said before the trade deadline this year. Some even said he wouldn't be coming back next year. Well, now he's the guy that's following number one receivers around. So, and this is the question that you have to ask yourself. If he's good enough to follow number one receivers around, why didn't they play more man-to-man when Jalen was here and have Jalen on the number one receiver and have AJ on the number two receiver? So, Bouye is good enough to assume the Jalen Ramsey role now. Why didn't you let them both do that before and then bracket your coverage on everybody else? It's almost as if that's kind of what the dude was saying before you got rid of him, right? But that's neither here nor there. But I give him a solid B because the safeties have also played well. The young safeties that they have played well, Harrison and Wilson. So they're long, they're athletic, they tackle well in space, and Harrison in particular has done a real good job of playing more of a free safety, and no one really thought that's really kind of what he was. But they thought he was a box safety. But he's gotten interceptions. He's been very active, had some big hits. They don't get a ton of penalties back there either, so I'll give them a solid B. Moving closer to the line of scrimmage, we'll stop at the linebackers. Ooh, You know what? I'm going to give him a D. And the only reason I'm giving him a D instead of an F is because I think they do have a tall task. And that tall task is most of the time they're a nickel. By the way, I didn't mention DJ Hayden. DJ Hayden has also been maybe the best player on the defense. So he adds to that secondary grade of B, however. But the linebackers, they're mostly a nickel. So usually there's only two of them to judge. And when teams start trying to run the ball, when there's only two linebackers in the game, it's not always all on them because they're not a complete unit. So I'll give those linebackers a D. I don't think Miles Jack has played well. I don't think the way he's played reflects the fact that they decided to pay him that contract. I really don't. So I'm going to give him a D on that. Defensive line, I'm going to give him a B minus. B minus for the defensive line. And I think Taven Bryant helps this. This probably would have been a little bit lower had he not developed and came on. Josh Allen, Yannick Ngakoue, and Calais Campbell have been, they've been themselves, man. They've been what they are. So the reason why you wonder why is it just a B or B minus? Well, because the team struggles stopping the run. Carlos Hyde and Christian McCaffrey are still running right now. So that's a problem. You can't have and granted, great player in Christian McCaffrey, underrated player in Carlos Hyde. You can't just be a team that gets a bunch of sacks and you can't stop the run. So overall, not bad, except in certain spots, tight end, offensive line, and linebacker. And I think those are when you start. If Jaguars don't win this week, people are going to start looking ahead. And when you start looking ahead, I wouldn't even focus on free agency as much. I think Jacksonville won't be because of the way, their salary cap issues are right now. I think they'll lose more free agents than they sign, which will help them the following year with supplemental picks. But I really do believe that with the plethora of draft choices they have, the three areas that I pointed out are actually going to be the areas where they concentrate the most. Offensive line, linebacker, and tight end. I think those be areas that'll be addressed. I think the first pick will go best player available, except if it's a quarterback. I think you could probably see him add another dynamic receiver. They're not going to take another running back in the first round, but I wouldn't be surprised at some point before round three. If you're sitting there and Cam Akers is there and you got another pick in the second round, why not? Get more explosiveness. But those are the positions I think they'll be addressed. Now, I said I was going to touch on this real quick. You can't have every week being the most important week of your season, but that's where Jacksonville is right now. What do I think happens? I think if they win, I think people will be like, okay, let's hang in there. We can do this. Let's get it all figured out and see if we can pull this thing together real quick and see if we can get have a chance to win the following week, win the following week, and then once you're 500, you're a game above 500, and then you can win a couple of those games down the stretch. If they lose this game, you're gonna have people already talking about the draft. And even though I said they could go 5-2 or 6-1, if they lose this game, you're gonna have people saying, okay, let's look at these draft choices and let's. Now you're going to start having people talking about who's going to get fired. And if they lose the game, that means that they'll lose another game to a team that's a playoff contender that has a winning record. So it'll appear that no matter who the quarterback is, they can't beat a team with a winning record. So that's my take on it, man. That's my midseason grades, and that's why I think this game is so important. And, you can already hear the people now. No matter what happens this week, somebody's going to have, it's either going to be, okay, I'll give them another week to see if they can beat Tennessee, or you're going to have the other side that says, okay, we see what this is. Let's go ahead and start moving on. It's Tony Wiggins with your Friday. Have a good weekend. We don't have a game this weekend, so I'll be back with you guys on Monday.